Praise the Lord, everybody. I stand here today and I give honor to our Father who is in heaven. I give honor to the one at his right side, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I give honor unto the Holy Ghost that dwells in the inner man. Let us enter into prayer before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that you would use my mind right now, that you would use my words, that you would think my, give me the thoughts to think and the words to say to your people today, that they would hear this word and that they would respond when they hear. So let me be a vessel of honor today that you would be able to use me, that souls would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We have been discussing the blood of the covenant, and we have been looking at the blood and the sacrifice. We have been looking at the altar where the blood is sprinkled, where God meets man at the altar. We've also been looking at the covenant which God gave to Moses, and he also gives to us as well, that we would hear his word and that we would respond to that word, and that we would agree with what God's word says concerning mankind. We also looked at the sprinkling of the blood on the people at the altar, that man and God could enter into covenant by blood. And we also have seen what happens when the blood covenant is established, because if you recall in the last message, the people were told to stay down the hill. But after they went into this covenant with God, and after the blood was sprinkled upon them, God called them up, and they saw him, and they ate with him, and they drank with him, the 70 elders, Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu. Today we're going to look specifically at the altar itself. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure." Verse 7, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Last verse, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This scripture speaks of the transition between the law and grace. It speaks as the transitional scripture between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where he's taken away the first, which is the law, to establish the second, which is grace. When I think about grace, I think, where would I be without the grace of God in my life? But I need his grace. I want you to see this in that this is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy of the coming of Christ. Jesus says this, he's speaking of Jesus when in this reference, it says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." We know this is speaking of Jesus because Jesus told us himself many times. He didn't come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the one who sent him, God himself. Jesus also tells us that there is a body prepared. Jesus' body was prepared as a sacrifice without spot or blemish. This body that was prepared came into this earth just as we come into this earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus, that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary with the seed of God that impregnated Mary to bring forth this holy thing called Jesus Christ. So, but Jesus came into this world for the sole purpose that man would have an opportunity to have his sins erased, to have his sins blotted out, to have his sins separated as far to the east as to the west. God, through the work of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, when someone comes to him and gives them their life, their sins are removed and remembered no more. I can go east. Well, I can just keep going east, and I can keep going west. And that's how far God sees our sins, separates them from us, as far as it is to the east and to the west. This is much better than the Old Testament. This is much, much better. In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement was the day that people would bring an animal to the priest. They would sacrifice this animal at the altar, and they would sprinkle the blood on the altar. And this was carried out over and over again every year annually. Atonement is defined as a covering or to cover. In the Old Testament, when man would bring his sacrifice to the altar, God would not see it anymore. It was covered. But covered does not mean erased. What Jesus did for us, he blotted our sins out. When God would look down upon them in the Old Testament, he would look down, but he would not see it. It was there, but it was covered by the blood. Even though it was covered, though, it still remained. What Jesus did for us is not cover it, but erase it, eliminate it. And that's the blessing that we have through the work that Jesus Christ did. He doesn't see it anymore because it's not there. It doesn't have to be covered anymore because Jesus' blood is much better than those animals that were sacrificed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." This is another way of saying that Jesus is far better than the things that happened in the old. Abel was killed by his brother Cain, and Abel's blood cried out unto God. The blood cried out unto God. And Abel is known as a person who is righteous in God's sight. But Abel's blood could not take away the sins of the world. Jesus' blood is so much better. It's so much more powerful. And it cleanses us from our sin. Jesus being far better than the old. And we who needed this perfect sacrifice now have a perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. So Jesus seen now far better. His blood is far better than the blood in the Old Testament. Jesus came into this world for this singular purpose, this singular objective, that he would be the once and for all sacrifice for mankind, that man would be able to have the kind of relationship once again that he had with Adam in the garden. Hebrews 9 and 12 says this. It says, neither, in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That tells me that Jesus, we know Jesus was our sacrifice. We know that he is our Savior. We also know that he is our high priest, because this is what the duty of the high priest would be. He is our great high priest. He says he didn't come by the sacrifices of goats and calves, but it was by his very own blood. It says that he entered into the holy place, not here on earth, but the holy place in heaven where God resides with his own blood. Because his blood is important for the remission of sin for mankind. So he had to take his blood into the holy place. I want to read another scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and 12. It says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So Jesus, taking his own blood, acting as a high priest, taking half of that, as we learned, dipping his hand in his own blood and sprinkling it on the altar in heaven as our high priest. And that way, now we have blood on the altar, not just blood of calves and goats, but we have Jesus's own blood that connects us into this blood covenant with God. And he did it for this purpose. In this last verse that I just read, it said that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. To sanctify us would be like sprinkling that blood upon the conscience of our mind. In the Old Testament, they sprinkled it on the outward man. It was applied to the outward part of man. Now it's applied to the inward part of man, in the man's conscience. His holy blood, his blood that has the power to change a person from a dead man to a man that's full of life. We have his body. We have the sacrifice. We have his precious blood. And we have him as our great high priest. I don't want to just tell you that. I want to show you that. Hebrews 4 and 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. It describes what's going on. Jesus took his blood into the holy place. He took it for the purpose to sanctify the people. Now it tells us that he is the great high priest, so he is to carry out the duties of a high priest. And it tells us to hold fast to this. Hold fast to what? What we know about him. What we have read about him. The covenant between God and man, the man has to agree to that covenant. All we are required to, as people today, is to believe on the one person that God sent to be the Savior of the world. That's our covenant, our binding blood covenant with God. Are you ready to join God at the meeting place? Let me explain this to you, that it would be clear. Because coming to the meeting place is something that you don't want to take lightly. What it means is a person can come to the altar and they can say they agree to the covenant, but if their mind has not changed about who they are and what they are, they will go back from the altar in the same condition. And I don't want that for anyone. I want a person to know when they come to this place, you must first hear the word of God. And you must first understand that God has given sinful man a way of escape from eternal death by Jesus Christ. And not just by Jesus Christ, but Jesus was willing to be the one sacrificed to give his life for us. They did not put him on the cross. He laid down his life. He gave his life for us. And if you come to the meeting place, you need to know this. And giving his blood as for ours, or in place of ours, or in place of the rams and the calves, he did it willingly. Why? Because he is the perfect sacrifice in God's sight. He is a perfect sacrifice. You want to be able to come to the meeting place and recognize that when man is born into the world, he's born in a sinful condition. And that sinful condition that man is born in, he has no remedy unless man hears his word. So when you come to the meeting place, you can expect to come in one way or come up one way. But when Jesus applies the blood to you, you can expect to go back another way. But you need to come with the right heart. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Man has to transition from sinful man to a holy man. But man cannot do that on his own. He cannot do that by himself. We need him. So by coming to the altar, a person has to recognize a sinful condition that man is born in. And you have to understand that you have a need to have your sins forgiven. When you come to the altar, that should be your expectation, that God would look at your heart and your mind, and that your thoughts and what you think in your mind agrees with the word of God that you have heard concerning his son. Jesus told us like this. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus tells us that no longer you go to the priest with a sacrifice. He's saying that is all resolved. That's part of the old. The new is you have to come to Jesus with the right heart. You have to come to him with the right mind. And having these conditions, realizing that, you're ready to come to the meeting place. I want to tell you this. I really understand how the devil operates. I understand how he goes through the minds of the ones who have been drawn to God. He's trying to stop you in your tracks from coming to the altar, because he knows if you make it to this altar, you can receive life. So he's trying to shut you down in your mind. He tells you things like, it's not worth it. And the message that he's talking about doesn't apply to you. But I want to give you this example about David. David had found himself in a similar condition. He was in sin because of the things that he had done. And his sins began to grow as of that. And I want to read a scripture out of Psalms 51, which is where we read of him repenting of that sin. In Psalms 51 and verse 16 and verse 17, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. This is David repenting of his sins, of what he has done. But I want you to know this. David's sin was great. And I know the devil is trying to convince you that your sins are too great for God to forgive. But listen to this. David knowingly slept with another man's wife. And later, David found out she was pregnant. David, knowing that her husband was away in battle fighting for him, he called him from battle to return to home. See, David did not want to confess his sins at that time. What he wanted to do was to cover his sins. Have you ever done something wrong and then you tried to cover it up? It doesn't work too well, does it? So David brought Uriah from battle so he could go home to his wife and sleep with his wife. And Uriah was so faithful to David, faithful to the king, that he did not go home. And after several attempts of trying to get him to go to his house, it just didn't work out. So David, instead of recognizing that this is not working for my good, he decides to make his life even worse. And what David does is really unspeakable, because he wrote a letter to the captain of the army. And in the letter, David penned what the captain should do with Uriah. And he sent Uriah back to the battleground. And the letter that he wrote to the captain said to place him in the hottest battle of the war. And when he gets there, I want you to withdraw everyone back. All the ones that were fighting next to him in this heated battle, they were withdrawn by the captain. And Uriah was left, and Uriah died. You might think this is something very awful to hear about, especially from someone who is said to be a man after God's own heart. But what it tells me that nobody is too far off from sin. I don't care if you're a fornicator, adulterer, murderer, homosexual. I don't care what your condition is. The power of this blood is strong enough that your sins can be forgiven for whatever it is that you may have done. Don't listen to the liar himself who's trying to get you from coming down to the meeting place. God wants to meet you here. So as a result, David wrote this wonderful psalm in Psalms 51 of a repentant man. Does anyone feel a need for repentance? Maybe your sins are beginning to multiply like David's sin. Maybe you've been trying to cover your track. Maybe your sins have been exposed, and the outcome is much worse than you imagined. Maybe it's just time for you to come to the meeting place at the altar. Maybe it's just your time for you to have Jesus' very own blood sprinkled on the conscience of your mind. God is a loving and forgiving God. Today that you have heard his voice, I ask you not to harden your heart, but to give your heart over to him. I have one last scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, and even by his precious blood that you prepare in the minds of the people who have heard this word to come and to meet you here at the altar, at the meeting place, that the words that have been spoken unto them, that it has touched their hearts, that they have confessed in their minds, and that they recognize the need to have this precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, sprinkled on the conscience of their mind here at the altar. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would do these things and that you would save souls today in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen.